The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Here's Harden. Anderson, deep three over Kawhi. Harden to Capella. Harden again, this time tosses it in himself, and the Spurs will take a timeout. And the Rockets, about the time you think the Spurs have got them, they come back and get another basket. Back out to Kyle Anderson, little fadeaway for the Bruins, will go. Harden holds off Mills. And James Harden, another triple-double. Gasol to inbound to Leonard. Houston gets the W.
So, that James Harden did pretty well again last night. And a lot of football coming up. Hey, this is my Friday, but it's really a Thursday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, the role model. Zhong Li, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At A.J. is the real. At Zhong Snow with a zero, not an O. At Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Thursday. Let's have some fun today. We're going to be Trump-free today, maybe, pretty much.
I think so.
Okay. Good, because I don't really want to deal with that.
I mean, what else is there to say?
Yeah.
We've done that show.
People are overreacting. That's the only thing there is to say. So we shall move on. What did you think of the Rockets last night?
I mean, you got to be impressed, right?
Well,
they win the game with a defensive stop. I mean,
two defensive stops, really. Yeah.
I mean, it's everything that we could have asked from them. So, yeah, good for them.
So far, the point guard is James Harden thing seems to be working out. Still too many turnovers. Once again, eight, including one late in the game. And really, I got to give the rest of the team credit because they kind of picked him up there at the end. But... I'm moderately impressed by how they look right now, especially since those first eight games are on the road and they come out of that 5-3 with
a
win over the Spurs.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good start. I like the spacing that we're seeing with the new guys offensively. I think it's opening a lot more stuff up. I don't know what their ceiling is, but I will go through eight games. I think they're better than last year.
Okay.
Through eight games.
Well, listen, they're on pace to have a better winning percentage, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's all that matters.
Exactly.
What are we at? Like 10% of the season right now?
Yeah.
Not even 10%.
Right. So. No, it's way too early to judge them, but I like what I'm seeing out of them more than I expected. I guess because they're still inconsistent on defense.
No, they're not inconsistent on defense. They're bad on defense.
They are, but I thought they played pretty good defense at key moments last night, and that was what got them there. But there's a lot of national love for James Harden right now.
I mean, James Harden is the same thing he's always been.
I know.
He's
getting a lot more assists, mainly because guys are making shots when he gets them the
right
ball.
I mean, that's helping, obviously. But, I mean, I saw there were some people, ESPN, NBA on ESPN released some kind of ratings or like ranking the players so far this year.
Yeah.
And I want to say, maybe it was not just the. I mean, maybe it was. I don't know. They're ranking the top players in the NBA, and James Harden, I think, was 8.
Yeah.
And there were people who were just blown away that was the. I mean, 8th. And I thought, that's not bad, right? 8's pretty good, isn't it?
That's second team All NBA, right?
I mean, that's got him ahead of, in this ranking anyway, it's got him ahead of Paul George. It's got him ahead of Damian Lillard. It's got him ahead of Blake Griffin, Karl Anthony Towns, you know, DeMarcus Cousins, Draymond Green, Kyrie Irving. I don't think it's got him ahead of Klay Thompson, even though I argue all the time. I think Klay Thompson's a better player than him. They think that he's better than Klay Thompson. And I'm not going to argue it.
That's about where I'd put him, to be honest with you.
So the two guys that they've announced, they haven't announced their top five. That's coming tomorrow. But the two guys that they put ahead of them so far, Chris Paul is one of them at number 7. Anthony Davis is one at number 6. I'm guessing, you know, I could probably make a safe guess that the rest of the top five is going to be LeBron James is somewhere in that conversation, I would assume.
No, I don't think he makes it.
I think he's gonna make the cut. I think that I think that obviously Steph Curry is going to be amongst them. I think Kawhi Leonard, I think Russell Westbrook, and I think Kevin Durant. I think that's your top five. Is anybody going to argue that he's better than those guys? I don't think you can.
But we're just talking about so far this season, right?
No, I think this is their rank. Like, they rank the best players in the NBA.
Oh, okay, I thought
they do this every season. They rank the best players in the NBA.
Why don't you do that before the season? Why are you doing
that? It's very strange that they're doing that.
It's kind of a dumb time to do it.
No, I agree.
Because it would be kind of cool if, like, once a month you ranked.
Here's what the voting criteria was. And they asked, it says, we asked which player will be better in 2016-17. So basically they're saying, who do they think is going to be the best this year? And I think James Harden at 8, that's an honorable position, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Now, if you were ranking him this year, so far, through 8 games, I'd have him higher than that. I mean, 4 straight games with 30 points and 12 assists before last night. I think the defense has been better than it was last year.
Okay.
It doesn't take much. Come on, let's be honest.
It's still not good.
It's still not 2 years ago, James Harden.
Yeah, and that's when he was an elite player in the league. 2 years ago, you saw him give a different kind of effort on the defensive end, and that's when he was in the conversation to be MVP. And I didn't think he was the MVP, but I thought he deserved to be in that conversation. Last year, a lot of his numbers were the exact same. And people were like, how can this be? Why is he didn't make an all-NBA team, first, second, third team.
Right.
And people were like, how can this be? Look at his numbers. He's better this year than last year. But he wasn't.
No.
Did he put up more points? Yep. Does it matter? No. Was he a better basketball player last year than he was 2 years ago? No. And I don't think James Harden thinks he was. I mean, I can't imagine, because basketball is a two-way sport, and everybody is asked to play. There's no designated shooter in the NBA. It's not like the American League. You can't just play one side and then sit down and chill while the other team plays defense. It doesn't work that way. I do agree that James is – I mean, again, it's been 8 games, and I think I've probably seen 6 of them. He's looked better defensively this year than he did last year.
But not as good as 2 years ago.
No.
No.
No. So, I mean, is this effort, if it were to stick all year, is it good enough? Probably. I mean, and is it good enough to warrant him being the 8th best player in the league? I would say, yeah, I think it does. But, I mean, most of these guys ranked ahead of him are two-way players. And that's just, to be great in the NBA, you've got to be a two-way player. Remember, I mean, LeBron James, when he was young, people used to crush him because he didn't play D. And then he basically spent two off seasons working on nothing but playing defense and quickly became one of the best defenders in the league. Like, what if James Harden did that? It's not going to happen, but wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah. Well, and like I said, I think he was close to that 2 years ago. He was a damn good defensive player. And what, he was second in the league in steals, and he actually stayed on his man. And, you know, and obviously that was the outlier, but somewhere in between I can live with. And the one thing that I really would like to see get better. Are we not on air? Can I cuss now? Is that okay?
I don't know. John, what do we got?
Yeah, I'll check on it.
It's a long story.
Of course.
Oh, well.
Yeah, my texts are blowing up. Dead air, dead air.
Yeah.
Great.
So.
You remember? You asked how today's show was going to go?
Yeah, I was feeling pretty good about it. Feeling pretty good about it. Not so much now. So. I really don't think we should be wasting any time with any important stuff here. Although, are we dead on the stream too?
Yeah, let's just go to a break then, John.
Yeah, why don't we do that? Let's waste time on other stuff but us. He's calling someone. So this is your play-by-play. John is calling someone now.
Yeah, he's on the phone, but he's not telling us to go to break.
Exactly. Which
I don't know if anyone's even hearing us talk anyway.
Now he's okay. Letting us go to break. Yeah. So
we'll hopefully be back soon.
Still yeah. Blitz. Hopefully. Unsuspecting hurt, and as you step back in the line, a mob trips through the fiend. Now dance, good chance, man, he never had a chance, and I won't even knew it was really only you. He never seen the way, take you back today. Nice work you did, you gotta go fuck it with a thousand eyes.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about dirt-free carpet cleaning. It's holiday season. It's time to clean your carpets. It's time to clean your sofa, your upholstered dining room chairs, your air ducts. You want to be ready for the in-laws coming over. Call Dirt-Free Carpet Cleaning, 281-DIRT-FREE. Go chemical-free with Dirt-Free Carpet. The other guys, they're leaving behind too much soap. They're leaving behind too much water. They're leaving behind unhealthy chemicals that trap dirt and allergens that can make your family sick, can make your pet sick, can make you sick. Not the case with my guys at Dirt-Free Carpet Cleaning. Give them a call, 281-DIRT-FREE. Go chemical-free with Dirt-Free. These guys are using powerful engines to create high-pressure steam made from their patented super water, not the toxic soaps and chemicals. They've been doing this for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. Call Dirt-Free Carpet right now, 281-DIRT-FREE. Tell them you heard about it right here on ESPN 97.5, and they'll clean three rooms of carpet for just $99.95, and they'll throw in a free speed dry to the first 25 callers. 281-DIRT-FREE, that's 281-347-8373 for Dirt-Free Carpet.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to The Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on The Blitz.
You're going to do some explaining?
Somebody's working on the transmitter and basically tripped the line.
So
are you kidding me?
They accidentally pulled the plug.
Like, wouldn't that be, you know, kind of marked like, hey, be really careful of this.
I don't know. That's what I was told.
Is it AD?
No, he's not out there.
Well, who is it?
Somebody else that works part-time contract. You know, his name's Dade. He kind of has glasses, and he always has a son.
He kind of has glasses? Well, definitely has glasses.
Okay. He has a son that you've seen him. You haven't seen him that much. He kind of does contract work for us.
He has a son?
Yeah, that he brings along with him. Every time he's here, you see him with his son.
Is it like a little kid?
No, he's probably in high school.
Well, why isn't he in school?
I don't know.
That seems odd. If you've got a high school kid-aged son, shouldn't he be in school?
Theoretically.
What do I know?
I wouldn't be able to pick him out of a lineup. I'm pretty sure. So
I don't know what he's talking about.
Me either. I don't know half the people around here as it is.
This is what we get for not sending our engineer out to do engineering things.
Well,
It was probably that guy's son who tripped the line.
Well, Date is an engineer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he does contract work for us.
Oh. Well, tell him his contract pay is going down every time he does something like that.
So you're saying he's clumsy, is what you're saying.
No, you're saying he's clumsy.
No, I'm just, you said he tripped over it and pulled the thing out. That sounds a little clumsy to me. That's all. So Chong's saying he's clumsy. Regardless, we're back.
All right.
Finally. I don't even know where we were.
Hey, I think we were talking about James Harden, but I don't even care enough. Okay. I don't care anymore. I mean, James Harden is what he is. I think he is what he's always been. I think by the end of the season, we'll say the exact same things. James Harden is a fantastic scorer. And
a turnover machine.
And you know what? He's gotten better at distributing the ball. And he's actually gotten better at rebounding from what I've seen this season. At least he was better at rebounding last night. Was very efficient rebounding last night. But defensively, he is still not a good player. And when you balance that out, he's so good on the offensive end that it still makes him very valuable, obviously. And the Rockets, when the Rockets hired D'Antoni, they knew what they were doing. They knew they were not going – they didn't have a roster that was built to play defense. So instead of just saying, well, let's hire a defensive-minded coach and have that dude sit on the sideline and pull his hair out because he doesn't have any good defensive players – they said, let's find a coach who can make the most of this squad that doesn't play defense, and that's what they did. So I don't think there's any pressure on James to play better defense. And James, as he is a very, very good player. Is he the kind of player that I could see winning a championship? No. But is he a very, very good player? Absolutely. And that's not going to change anytime soon, I don't think.
All right. Well, that probably covers it. What else did you have?
On that?
You know, you had something else we were going to get to, and then you jumped back on Harden.
Yeah, I already forgot.
Okay.
I had something in mind, but then I forgot about it.
Hey,
I do have a random, completely non-sports, random, totally random question that I thought of this morning, and I was going to tweet it and get the answer, but then I was like, it's too much to tweet and too difficult to explain, so I just thought I'd ask you. So let's say you're on a large... I don't want to say a large road, but like a road that's got two lanes one way, two lanes the other, and a turn slash median lane in the middle. Okay?
Okay.
And a school bus is coming, and it's going the opposite way of you, and it's on the far, like on the, so it, if you're driving along, it's on your far left, right?
Right.
You're in the far right. When that school bus stops and sticks out that stop sign, does that mean everyone in the opposite bound traffic has to stop, or is that for the people that are going the same way as the bus?
I think it's both ways.
That's ridiculous.
The only time I think it's not is if there is a I'm blanking on the name of the thing, but if there's a
like a divider,
yeah.
Because okay. It's considered, so like a turn lane is not enough. Like a middle median lane is not enough.
No, I don't think so. I don't know for sure, but every time I've ever been in that situation,
because roads like that are too damn busy to just be stopping because there's kids getting on the school bus, you know, 100 yards away from you on the other side of the road.
Well, I think the idea is if one of the little idiots decides to cross into traffic, at least he's not going to get run over.
I mean, who's going to do that?
Look, you've seen enough stupid adults. You tell me that kids aren't dumb enough to do that?
Oh, that's stupid, man. We're taking too many safeguards with our children. If they die, they die. That's what they get for running out into traffic. We can't just slow down everything because your kids are stupid and want to walk in front of the bus. And then not only walk in front of the bus, walk across two lanes of traffic, then a median lane, and then into oncoming traffic. Like, that's got to be a really stupid kid.
Well, turn lane, because the median doesn't matter. If it's got like, even grass, that kind of stuff.
But it's got,
'cause it's considered separate roads.
Right. So this road in particular where there's not an actual turn lane,
yeah.
There's the yellow... It's a full-size lane. It's got the yellow diagonal lines with the bumpy things all the way along it. Are the bumpy things enough of a divider?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, son of a...
Sorry.
I can't deal with this.
Yeah.
I can't deal with this.
Now we have three callers on the line.
About that?
Yeah.
Are any of them school bus drivers?
I don't know. Let me ask the intern.
I don't care. Just put on John. John, are you a school bus driver?
No, I'm a professional driver. I drive every day.
Okay. What's the deal? Is Fred right?
Do what?
What's the deal with this? Is Fred right? Does everybody have to stop for this bus?
Okay, here's the thing. If there's any kind of solid barrier or median, then no. But if there's just if it's like solid pavement and just a lane there, then yes.
What about yellow bumpy things?
Yeah, because it's still one road as a whole.
That's garbage.
If there's any kind of grass dividing it or concrete barriers in the way or anything, then no, you wouldn't have to.
All right.
See, I was right.
You were right. I mean, I just don't understand that logic. I mean, why do people going one way have to stop everything they're doing? So, which, I mean, the bus is on that one side of the, I mean, the door is on that one side of the bus. That's where the kids get on. That should not be affected by cars going the other way. And this is like a 45 mile an hour road. So all of a sudden, everybody's got to slam to a stop. Doesn't make sense to me.
I just avoid roads with school buses.
Well, yeah, you don't drive even. You drive here. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. The thing that drives me nuts about them is that they have to, every single one of them has to stop at a railroad crossing.
No, I don't need that too.
Hey, isn't there a reason you have those damn arms that come down and lights? So, let's see if we have any different things here from Nathan. What's up, Nathan?
Hey, guys.
Hey, sports, Nathan.
So, I used to be a bus driver. Now, I'm a fleet manager for a school district. So, I can tell you, the law is stated, basically, if you can take a tennis ball, roll it under the bus, and it can go across the road, vehicles have to stop until that tennis ball stops. So, in your case, what you're talking about, doesn't matter if there's little things on the ground or not, unless there's a concrete or something to stop that ball, the vehicles need to stop. And the reason why they do that is because, let's say a kid's got paperwork in his hand and he drops it and it blows it off in front of the bus, they're not supposed to cross, but it happens. And so they don't want the child to get hit. It's a safety thing, the reason why they do that.
All right. I mean, it seems like safety, but you think about the car wrecks that are going to happen when people are going 45 miles an hour and then suddenly have to slam on the brakes because of school bus stopped.
Well, if you're paying attention, you'll see the school bus with its lights starting to come on anyway.
I never pay attention when I drive. Well, you know that.
That's true.
You've ridden with me before. It's a nightmare. All right. Well, thank you for answering my question, guys.
Yeah. Well,
I don't like the answer, but I'll abide by that law.
Well, there's a lot of things I don't like, but
I'll abide by these rules, but I'll do it under protest. And what I'm going to start doing is when I'm going to get out with a tennis ball and roll it, and if those little bumpy things stop it, I'm getting back in my car and I'm going. So, and I'm going to tell them what that guy said. If the cop stops me, I'm going to say, hey, man, I rolled a tennis ball. The bumpy thing stopped it. It rolled the other way, and I'm in the clear.
What if you miss the bumpy thing?
Well, then it'll roll under the bus.
Okay.
And then what? Then I've got to stop. I've got to abide by the rules, right?
So you're turning it into a skill game is what you're doing.
Basically.
Yeah, if you can roll a tennis ball and hit the dome.
Yeah, it's like skee ball.
Well, I do appreciate that call because that pretty much explained it as to why the whole tennis ball thing. All right, guys, I got to tell you about Houston Can Academies. It's a place that takes in kids who have dropped out of other schools. And
do they ride the bus?
Some of them do.
I don't want to help them then.
Only if you can't roll.
Not helping anyone who rides a school bus anymore. That includes my own kid.
Only if you can run a tennis ball up underneath there. That's the thing. But now Houston Can Academies takes in kids who've dropped out of other schools. They give them a second chance. A lot of these are really, really good kids who are just in difficult situations. And Houston Can Academy works around those situations. And so many of these kids go on and graduate and do great things. And you can help. They need your donation. School started. They really need all the help they can get. And by your donation, they just mean a vehicle. Doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. It could be a car, truck, a motorcycle, a boat, an RV. Doesn't have to be running. It doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. It doesn't matter how long it's been sitting there and you haven't been using it. They're going to come and tow it free of charge. They're going to fill out all the paperwork, and your donation's tax deductible. And if you donate today, you're going to get a $50 Visa gift card if you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. Just a way of saying thank you. Give them a call right now, 713-225-4226, 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5.
Warehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. People want to talk about the school buses. Might as well let them.
What the hell else are we going to talk about?
I don't know. What else is there?
I mean, I learned my lesson.
Yeah.
All right. What do you got, Johnny?
Yeah, let's hear what Johnny has to say.
Hey, guys. I love the show.
Thank you.
First off, and AJ, I know it may piss you off, but, yeah, you do have to stop. And the reason is I had never heard anything about the ball and all of that, but sometimes there's houses on the opposite side of the road that the bus is actually on, and some of the kids live on that opposite side, so they stop both lanes of traffic, all both ways of traffic, to let those kids to the other side of the road as well.
Well, this is for pickup in the mornings, and there's no way that there would be kids walking across this street to get to the bus, or even if they got let off the bus, I don't think the school would allow them to walk across this street. So it's
that's the reason they stop both lanes.
What I'm saying is, even with the stop sign, they're not letting these kids walk across the street. This road is too busy of a road for kids to walk across. So the bus would have to turn around and stop.
No. Okay, like I live in like a rural area, like and actually I'm driving on something similar to what you're explaining, and the buses are going in one direction and traffic in the other. But like I said, there is a stop on that side, but they most of the time, some of the kids may be late. You know, parents didn't get them up on time or whatever. But, I mean, they have to stop both lanes of traffic in case there is a kid that, you know, is late or trying to get back across to the bus. And they stop the traffic so they'll be more safe of getting to the opposite side of the road in the event that they live on that side of the road.
All right. Well, thank you for the call.
Yeah. Is there really any more that we can delve from this? We've learned that you have to stop. It's that simple. Don't have to like it. Get out and roll tennis balls. But you have to stop. Let's try Dustin. What's up, Dustin?
Sports, fellas.
Sports to you.
Hey, just curious your thoughts on tonight's game. I really, really, really want to hit that Baltimore -7.5, but I just can't believe in Cleveland anymore. Also, what do you think about the over? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Yeah, I've told myself, whatever the number, whatever the spot, I'm not betting on Cleveland or San Francisco again this year, and I'm really not.
Yeah.
So if the half wasn't there, I'd probably be on Baltimore, but no thanks. And I don't bet overs on Thursday night football because, in general, offense tends to struggle on those Thursday night games.
Yeah, and I'd lean under there, but I have zero interest in playing that one. You know, we might can go through all of them since I'm not going to be here tomorrow and go through some of the games. But I'm getting a bunch of texts saying the exact same thing that we already have determined on the roads. One more, Max. What's up, Max?
Hey, sports guys. How are y'all?
Sports to you.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know, I don't really know if you guys care or not to know, but the actual law is, on any road with school buses, if there's nothing in between and it's just a yellow line and it's just traffic going both ways, then every lane of traffic has to stop. But if at any point, 2-lane, 4-lane, 6-lane road, if there's a concrete medium with any form of blockage between the traffic for areas to turn, then the opposing traffic doesn't have to stop at all. And I see it happen all the time, and it's hilarious because you're obstructing traffic, and it's actually a ticketable offense. But if there's any kind of a medium between the lanes, you do not have to stop no matter what. It's the law.
Yeah, I think we've established
Sean that. Says the law, you've got to stop unless it's a divided roadway, and the same goes for emergency vehicles. So, like, if there's an ambulance coming down, if there's a concrete divider, you don't have to stop for it. You just keep on rolling. But if there's no concrete divider, everybody's got to stop.
Fair enough.
So, all right. Well, sorry I brought us down this rabbit hole.
It was entertaining for a
while. If I'm ever president, I can guarantee you that school bus crap is going away. Gone.
And you have a lot of dead kids.
Whose problem is that? Not mine.
Well, if you're president,
not mine.
If you're killing kids as president.
I won't be killing them.
Yes, you will.
Nope.
You put them in harm's way.
Listen. I was about to make an abortion joke. That would have been terrible.
Would it? Would it really?
It would have been bad. It would have been bad. Where was that question? Here we go. Ruben asked, how do you feel Harden compares to Iverson, going back to our earlier conversation? I feel like he doesn't compare to Iverson, first of all. But Iverson was an all-effort guy, and that went both ways. Iverson wasn't the best defender, but the reason why he led the league in steals so many times is because he was always giving effort. He was just kind of too small to be a great defender, but that dude gave effort. And when he went to the basket, he was looking to finish, not looking to get to the free throw line. I'll just leave it at that. So, Allen Iverson is one of the greatest players to ever play this game. James Harden's a good player.
I think he was the best of a pretty shaky generation. I'd still take him over Harden, but I'm not going to go with one of the greatest to ever play the game.
I won't go the best of a generation because he's the same draft class as Kobe.
Yeah, but while Kobe was younger than him too, and
about 2 years,
it took him a couple of years before he became Kobe. But the reality is that kind of group there was just not. There were fewer really good players.
And
I think Iverson is, what was that, John? Oh, never mind. Iverson was kind of like a superhero, in a way, and
a really tiny,
Ant-Man, exactly. And if you want to get Ant-Man gear, I can tell you where to go. Bedrock City Comics and 5 great Houston locations. Westheimer, Clear Lake, 1960, Washington Avenue, Sugar Land. I like to go on one on Washington here. It's just down the road. Or you can check them out at bedrockcity.com. They've got so many cool things there, from not just comics. I mean, it's about the comics, but they've got novelties. They've got posters, supplies, apparel, statues. Every geeky thing you could possibly imagine about all the superheroes and all the comic book characters and all the Game of Thrones characters that you could possibly want. Coming up on in a little over a week, they're going to have local comic shop day at all 5 locations. And they're run by great people who just love comic books and have turned this into an amazingly cool place. And if you're a geek like me and you're into all that stuff, you have to go check them out. And make sure you tune in early in the week when we're doing our superhero villain performance of the weekend so you can win a gift card there. And with that $25 gift card, you can get all kinds of cool stuff. Check them out. Bedrock City Comics, bedrockcity.com. After that, got sour.
She took all I ever. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Joining us now on the program is a man who has a chance to become the welterweight champion of the world at UFC 205 on Saturday night. Stephen Wonderboy Thompson joins us. Stephen, how are you, man?
Feeling great, man. Waking up in New York City. 2 days away from the fight, man, I'm feeling awesome.
There was a lot of talk, and you seem to be the most deserving guy of this title shot, but there was a lot of talk that maybe you weren't going to get it because Tyron Woodley was looking for a bigger name to fight. And that's become a trend lately, because now when you become a champion, you get pay-per-view points, and everybody wants to get the biggest pay-per-view draw possible.
I mean, is that frustrating for you? Because to me, this is a sport where, you know, these things should be earned and it shouldn't be a popularity contest. How close do you feel you were to not getting this shot? And what do you, when was the moment when they were like, okay, we're going to give it to you?
Yeah, it was kind of up in the air, really. When we first got it, you know, wasn't really sure if he was going to be fighting George or Nick Diaz. I know he was calling those guys out, or even Carlos Condit. Knowing that I was the rightful guy to you know, fight for the title as the number one contender. And you are seeing a trend of that lately, and it kind of stinks for the guys who deserve it most because of that. But you know what? I can't really complain now because I am getting the fight, and we'll be stepping out there in 2 days. But in the beginning, it was fairly frustrating. We wasn't really sure where this was going to end up.
What do you think has – I mean, obviously, you've lost one time ever, and that was in your second fight in the UFC. But as I've watched your career progress, I feel like you've continued to get better and better. What was the moment for you, or what happened with you where your game has sort of rounded out and become more complete than early on, where it seemed like you were just kind of a striker trying to get by? When did you really feel yourself developing into a complete MMA fighter?
Well, you know, everybody asks me what was my favorite fight so far in the UFC, and I tell everybody it was my one loss to Matt Brown, which is my second fight in the UFC. You know, if it wasn't for that fight, I don't think I would be where I am today. Helped me round out where I needed to go, what I needed to work on the most, my takedown defense, my jiu-jitsu, modifying my stance, my angles, my weight cut, obviously. And if it wasn't for that fight, I wouldn't be where I am today. And that's something that I've really worked on religiously is that takedown defense. So if it wasn't for that fight, man, I wouldn't be where I am today. And, you know, just learn from it and try to get better. And that was the turning point where, you know, I got on that big fight winning streak and kind of woke me up a little bit.
One thing I've noticed with you is it seems the way not to go against you is to pressure you. And we saw it with Johnny Hendricks, where Johnny Hendricks was maybe overly aggressive. Robert Whittaker maybe overly aggressive. And Rory McDonald actually lasted 5 rounds with you because he was the opposite of aggressive. Tyron Woodley seems like a guy who is very aggressive just by nature. Do you think that his style plays into yours?
You know, I think so. And if you watch some of his fights, he explodes in. He moves forward very fast. But after that, he kind of backs up, kind of walks back. He's notorious for backing up to the cage and then exploding out. So, you know, we watched definitely watched a lot of his fights and studied it. And that's kind of the rhythm. He gets in kind of like a little rhythm when he's out there. He moves forward, then he backs up a little bit, tries to lure you in, then he explodes forward again. So, yeah, man, there's a perfect opportunity for me to either counter him or meet him in the middle with a strike and have him run into either a foot or a punch.
This card, this UFC 205 card, is, you could argue, maybe the biggest card on paper that's ever been put together. And I think that one of the fights they lost yesterday or 2 days ago, the Rashad Evans-Tim Kennedy fight, was a nice fight that was kind of added to the depth of it. But even when you lose a fight with Tim Kennedy and Rashad Evans, it's still a great card. How cool is it to be a part of it and to be in the first, you know, the first MMA card in New York City? I mean, how exciting is all of that?
Man, it's the excitement right here in the city right now is amazing. You know, I went to my first UFC fight. I think it was UFC 2 or 3, and it was in Charlotte, North Carolina. I was 12 years old, and I told myself after watching that event, I want to be fighting for the UFC one day. And now, here I am getting ready to fight for the title, and not just the title, but to do it in one of the most prestigious arenas in the world, Madison Square Garden. So, man, this is definitely a dream come true.
What fight on the card other than your own are you looking forward to? And at what point in the night, you know, I mean, you're the second to the last fight of the night. At what point do you stop watching the fights that are going on? Like, you stop focusing on the TV and just zone in? Or do you even watch the fights at all?
You know, I'm not really notorious for going back there and watching the fight. I just kind of get focused. I actually sleep before I even go out there. Just something that I've kind of worked on, developed over the years, kind of helped calm the nerves. But, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to get on this card wasn't just because it was in Madison Square Garden, because I wanted to share the octagon with a good buddy of mine and brother-in-law now, Chris Weidman, who is also going to be on the fight. So I'm going to be watching that fight, obviously. And after that fight, man, I'm just going to get in the zone and get right there and get ready to do what I do before I step out there.
There is the fight right before Chris Weidman's is Kelvin Gastelum and Donald Cerrone, a couple of welterweights. Are you going to now that you know that you're getting a title shot, have you started to pay closer attention to the welterweight contenders and their fights, and maybe just thinking about one day this is a guy that I could run into?
Oh, definitely. I'm definitely thinking that, but not this close to a fight. You know, I'm just focused on Tyron. Of course, after we can go back, we can study the fights and you know, watch these other welterweights, especially Damian Maia, especially Donald Cerrone, the way how fast he's moving up in the polls of the welterweight division. But yeah, man, it is, and you have to do a lot of studying, because a lot of these guys, anybody you face in the octagon is going to be just you know, the best guy in the division. Could be anybody. Everybody you step out there with is really, really good. So I'll be keeping a close eye on everyone.
So today's Thursday. You've got about 24 hours until your official weigh-in tomorrow morning. What's your weight like? How's the cut been? Are you comfortable? Are you feeling normal for this point in the fight camp?
Yeah, man. My weight's actually really good. Walking around a lighter weight, which has helped me out tremendously for my last three fights. Walking around about 185 instead of 195 or 200, which a lot of these guys do.
Right.
Because of the USADA rules, I wasn't really sure how my body was going to cope not having the IVs. So I've just gotten used to it, you know. And I feel just as fast as I was before. Just as strong as I was before, but, man, way faster than what I was. So, yeah, man, the weight cut's on point. I'm 180, 181 right now, so only 10 pounds to go, and I can do that within an hour, less than an hour.
You know, when regarding weight cuts, we saw on the card last weekend, we saw Charles Oliveira show up 9 pounds overweight. And I know now when you show up at New York City, they weigh you, right? And they kind of see where you're at then and make sure you're at a reasonable amount that you'll be able to actually make the weight, correct?
Exactly. You know, every time you step in off that plane, man, they get you right to the scale to make sure, you know, you can get down on that weight. So it's crazy for these guys, especially 9 pounds.
How's that even happen?
Professional. I have no idea. Wait, was he pigging out once he got here? I have no idea.
That's unbelievable.
You know, oh yeah, okay. I'm good. I'm like 15 pounds. I can go ahead and have a pizza now. Nah, man, that just doesn't way. It doesn't work that way, especially not with my legs. I got a great ladies that you know, perfecting athletes have been helping me out with my weight cut. You know, I'm eating literally satisfying meals, breakfast every morning. I'm eating lunch, I'm eating dinner and snacks in between, and I'm still losing weight. And the meals that we're eating, you know, they're not bland, they're not nasty, they're very satisfying, you know, having, you know, spaghetti, but with the noodles being zucchini, which tastes exactly like noodles. Breakfast in the morning, French toast with eggs on top, with Ezekiel bread, and it's very satisfying, and, you know, I'm not sweating it at all. I'm very excited with the way these ladies are performing.
And you know, your fight camp portion that took place at the gym, everything went well. You feel like you're hitting a stride at the right time.
Oh yeah, man! Started my camp off in New York with Chris Weidman. Came back home to finish it out. Got great coaches, great sparring partners that have helped me out get to where I am. And yeah, man, I'm just excited to step out there. I feel fast. I feel strong. And, you know, I'm not – everybody sees just me when I step out there. But, man, I couldn't have gotten there without my team and the people, those guys that made sacrifices for me as well. So I'm winning it not just for myself but for them too.
Well, Steven, when Tyron fought Robbie, I said the winner of this fight is going to have problems if they run into Steven Thompson. And I congratulate you for getting this opportunity to fight Tyron Woodley, because I think this is a great opportunity for you. And I think, honestly, stylistically, this seems like a very, very winnable fight for you. So congratulations and good luck to you. Looking forward to seeing this. And enjoy the last day of hard stuff before you get to do the fun stuff on Saturday.
You got it, my friend. I really do appreciate it.
All right. That's Steven Wonderboy Thompson. Appreciate the time.
Yes, sir.
All right, and now I'm going to tell you guys about Dick's Sporting Goods on the way out. They've opened 10 new stores all around the Houston area. six different locations. They're in Willowbrook, they're at Deerbrook Mall, they're at the Woodlands Mall, they're at First Colony Mall, and then they're at Katy and Baybrook. And those two are huge buildings that actually house a Dick's Sporting Goods, a Field & Stream, and a Golf Galaxy all under one roof. So whatever your game, whatever your sport, whatever level you're playing it at, Dick's has you covered from everything from footwear to apparel to equipment. They've got it all. Whether you're a biker, you're a hiker, you're a fisherman, you're a kayaker, you're a golfer, tennis player, they've got everything for every sport covered, guys. You're gonna have to see these stores to believe them, because if you've lived in Houston for any amount of time and you've gone to the sporting goods stores around here, you've become you've become used to a certain level of quality, and Dick's has changed that. This is a top notch, high level sporting goods store, and it's going to completely change your expectations of what they should be. They've got great in store services. These are the first Dick's Sporting Goods stores of their kind in the entire country, and they picked Houston to open them up. And please go check them out. Dick's.com/Houston. You can find more of the more info on the locations. That's Dick's.com/Houston. Dick's Sporting Goods, now open all over Houston.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.